This was the week that most of the news outlets were reporting that salmon chaos was ruling in Taiwan. The problem started when people began changing their names to salmon so that they could qualify for a restaurant's promotional deal on sushi. The restaurant chain said that anyone with the Chinese characters for salmon in their name could get free food for themselves and five friends. Now, in Taiwan, it only costs $3 to change your name, so you can guess what happened next, resulting in Taiwanese officials pleading with people to stop and reminding them that they're only allowed to change their name up to a maximum of three times. And this is Boggle Docs. Hello and welcome to Your Happy Place. We're that feeling that you get when your five-year-old little patient shows you the beautifully neat scar on his forehead and tells you that you glued it for him and made him feel better when he fell over when he was two, and he remembers the whole thing, and then he says thank you. There were happy tears after that. He completely melted my heart. We're here to keep you going during these difficult times as we take a more human approach to the medical world and we learn something along the way. Boggle Docs is the podcast for GPs and other primary care professionals that is accessible to everybody. We take the pulse of the nation by looking to the medical media and we use that information as a springboard to help you target your CPD. And all of this is aimed at giving us the heads up so that we might have an inkling of what might be on our patients' problem lists so that we know what we need to know. Please follow and rate this podcast because apparently that's really important for all the algorithms in the world of podcasting. And this week I'm joined again by Abby Brooks. Hi Abby, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Well, thanks for coming back. It's a pleasure to have you and thank you. I mean, you had a great response to your last time that you came on. So very excited about what we're going to talk about this time. Would you like to reveal the legend?
Oh, I'm so excited. We're talking about Bridgerton, my favourite show of the 2020-21 season.
Excellent.
So I'm really looking forward to this.
Yes. And they talk about seasons as well, don't they? So yes, very much. This is definitely it. Very cool. And so just before we get started then, I just wonder if you'd be happy to introduce yourself to people that maybe don't know you.
So I'm Abby Brooks. I'm a GP partner and trainer based in York. And I love all things film and TV. I like talking about comms and I really love social media generally as a positive thing in medicine and health, with its downsides, of course, but trying to bring the positive element to it. So you'll find me on Twitter most evenings talking about some such rubbish.
Excellent. And you also like running as well, don't you?
Yes, I would say I was an avid runner prior to lockdown, but I'm trying to get back to it. I love parkrun and just love the buzz that running with friends really gives you.
Excellent. And parkrun is something that's really taken off in the last few years. And maybe just for people that don't know about parkrun, how would you go about joining up if you're interested?
Yeah, I'm a big fan. So I wasn't a runner. I hadn't done exercise for kind of all my medical school training and then making babies years, and then I did Couch to 5K 3-4 years ago, and then I signed up to parkrun. So parkrun is a free weekly timed 5K run across different areas of the country. You just need to sign up to a barcode, which you can do on the parkrun website. They're not running at the minute with lockdown restrictions, but the hope is that come June time we'll be back park running 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. So do look up your local parkrun and sign up in time for June. It's great fun.
Cool. And things that patients, obviously, we can recommend it to patients too. And it's great for them to get involved, isn't it?
Yeah, we're a parkrun practice now. So 2 years ago today, in fact, we held a takeover. So the staff and some patients filled the volunteer roster and we ran the route together. So there's a RCGP partnership with GP practices and parkrun. And it's a great thing that I recommend to a lot of my patients, not just the running and walking side of it, but also the volunteering, which gives you a huge boost, just knowing that you're part of something every Saturday morning.
Yeah, I was going to say, because even if you're not a runner, you can get involved with the volunteering and the, is it called marshalling, I'm guessing, that kind of thing?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Marshall. Yeah, so the volunteering has lots of different roles. So marshalling is just, you know, directing people the right direction. You can be involved in taking people's tokens, counting people at the end, loads of different roles for which you get trained on the job, and there's no stress and it's really good fun. I love volunteering. I love running and volunteering at the same time. So you can be a pacer, so you help people to run their times. And there's no one that's too slow. So there's always someone at the back called a tail walker who will be right at the back helping those people that maybe don't have the confidence to run yet. So they're walking. And every week you get people that are just there for the 5K walk and they have a blast and it's so inclusive. So give it a go. Definitely.
Brilliant. That's lovely to hear. And it sounds like the marshal would be my best friend because I always get lost on these kind of things. So it'd be good to have them there.
They direct you, they keep you going, but also they give you good shout outs. Keep going, the one in purple and all of that. So they're really encouraging and they make sure you definitely don't get lost. So
brilliant.
I want to see you at park running in the summer, Nick.
Okay. Yes, I will do that. Okay, so we've got lots to cover in this week's Boggle Docs. And so in a few minutes, we're going to be talking about Bridgerton with Abby. But before all that, let's have a look at this week's news headlines. And we start off the Mail. Device that can sniff out cancer in seconds. Electronic nose that detects chemicals in breath may help spot early signs of esophageal tumour. This is talking about a new breathalyzer type device, which uses sensors to identify patterns of compounds found in the breath that are unique to Barrett's esophagus, which, as we know, is a precancerous condition. This is hopefully going to then lead to improved diagnosis of esophageal cancer. Says here that according to Cancer Research UK, up to 13% of people, that's 13% of people with Barrett's esophagus will develop esophageal cancer. So then it talks about the fact that to carry out the test, the patient breathes into a tube attached to the device and sensors spot specific patterns of VOX, which are volatile organic compounds. And the results are available within minutes. This was a study at Radboud University in the Netherlands, and it's been reported in the BMJ Gut Journal last year. 400 people breathed into the device for 5 minutes, and some had been diagnosed with Barrett's, others with acid reflux, or another group had a healthy esophagus, and the results showed that the VOC content was different in the three groups. And the device was able to detect Barrett's 9 times out of 10, and a trial of the device is now underway at the university with nearly 500 patients who will have a breath test and then an endoscopy to confirm the test's accuracy. Next up, it's The Express. B12 deficiency symptoms, tingling skin might be a warning sign to see your GP. This is more of a heads up, really. It talks about the NHS confirming that one of the symptoms of B12 deficiency is pins and needles. And it says here it feels like pricking, tingling or numbness of the skin. And then there's this article all about B12 deficiency. At the very bottom, it talks about the fact that another culprit of vitamin B12 deficiency is taking proton pump inhibitors or PPIs. And it says, if you're concerned, you may be suffering from B12 deficiency, do speak to your GP. And finally, we have The Sun, who should probably win an award for this headline. Stiffy in a jiffy, new rub-on sex gel for male impotence works 6 times faster than Viagra. This is a new rub-on gel which works within 10 minutes. It's the UK manufacturers yesterday got EU approval for the Quickfire lotion, which will be available without prescription. It's on course to be fully certified by the end of May. Users report an initial cool sensation upon application before things rapidly begin to warm up. So hopefully there's some kind of mention about washing your hands afterwards. And I hope the bottle doesn't look anything like hand sanitizer, because otherwise we could all end up in a bit of trouble. So Abby, is there a news headline that's caught your eye this week?
Yeah, so I was just reading about, apparently pumpkin seed oil is effective for male pattern baldness. Who knew?
Wow. Okay. So that's in The Express, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So tell me a bit more about that.
So it goes through a recent 2014 trial about the use of pumpkin seed oil in male pattern baldness. It talks about rats, and then they did a blinded study on 76 male patients with male pattern baldness using 400 milligrams of pumpkin seed oil per day for a 24-week process.
Okay. So it sounds like it's not the biggest study in the world.
No, not huge numbers.
And so did they have a decent response with it?
So mean hair count, so obviously someone went around counting hairs, increased 40% in those treated apparently with the pumpkin seed oil compared to placebo, 10% improvement in placebo, so 40% versus 10%. So I suppose you could say that was significant, but when you have 76 people taking part, it's not huge, and certainly the power of the trial doesn't seem impressive. And it goes on to talk about other NHS and non-NHS treatments for male pattern baldness.
So it sounds like there might be something in it, but there's certainly a lot more work to be done before we can start recommending it to people, by the sounds of it. So yeah, I mean, you know, people that obviously are affected by this, it's something that is probably quite emotive as well. So there's a lot of that involved in marketing and involved in stories like this. So we may well, and I suppose that's the point of talking about it, that we might get people coming to us and asking us to recommend treatments for hair loss. And so yeah, we might get somebody that's read that and be coming to see us. So thanks for that, Abby.
You're welcome. Really interesting. Maybe something that I'll come across this week.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to be talking about Bridgerton very shortly. But first of all, let's have a look at this week in daytime TV. The director of the Caroline Flack documentary that was on Channel 4 last week and that we covered last week was on BBC Breakfast on Wednesday, and he said he wanted people to watch it and to reflect on it. He said that people shouldn't have to face what Caroline had to face. And our episode, which you may have heard, but if you've not heard, please do go back and have a listen to it. Lee David joined me and we discussed the Caroline Flack documentary and also the Roman Kemp documentary that are both on TV last week, covering the difficult topic of suicide. So that's all still there to be listened to if you want to. Rugby star Niall Breslin was on BBC Morning Live to prove that anyone can benefit from mindfulness. And he demonstrated a breathing technique that we can all do when we're feeling overwhelmed. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. On Thursday on BBC Breakfast, if you want some positive role modelling for your type 1 diabetic patients, then Estee Haim from the American pop group Haim was being interviewed by Colin Patterson along with her sisters, and they make up the rest of the group. And during the interview, her insulin pump beeped, and so there followed a discussion about her type 1 diabetes and how she was going to actually take her insulin right now, because that's what the pump was telling her to do. So it was really good to see that, so I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. On Friday on Good Morning Britain, they had a feature to raise the awareness of autism in girls, and they spoke to news reporter Jonathan Swain and his 16-year-old daughter Immy about their struggles leading up to her diagnosis and beyond that. And I'll link, put a link to that in the show notes as well. And we might get patients or parents contacting us with their concerns regarding this. Also on Friday, on BBC Morning Live, neuroscientist Sabina Brennan was on, and she was talking about brain fog, and she was telling us how it is linked to some medical conditions, and so therefore it might be sort of quite topical at the moment because it's being linked to long COVID. So I will put a link to that video in the show notes as well. And finally, on this morning on Friday, Dr. Zoe Williams was on, and she was talking to Alison and Dermot about insomnia, and she did a great piece all about sleep hygiene and what that involves. And so I'll post a link to that video in the show notes as well. Now, if you are out running, this isn't going to help you. But if you want to get the full effect of the next bit, then I can heartily recommend that you get from your streaming service Love is a Choice by Chris Bowers, which is on the Bridgerton soundtrack. So if you want to put that on now, pause the podcast for a second, and then once it's playing, you can restart. Okay, so I'm joined by Abby again, and we're going to be talking about Bridgerton. Now, this is a series which launched on Christmas Day 2020 on Netflix, and it has been one of their massive, massive hits. It's about so many things, and lots of people have seen it as an antidote to lockdown and to the pandemic. And it features love, loss, intrigue, and scandal. Is that what you think, Abby?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I agree with the antidote. It's just what we needed at that point. Lockdown had just begun again when I started watching it, and I needed something that was a bit brighter. to help me get that through that beginning part. And scandal, as you say, is central to it, but also diversity and family and friendship. So a really good series, and I'd recommend your listeners to watch, definitely.
Absolutely. If you've not seen it, as I said, it's on Netflix, so you can easily watch it and have a good old binge. There's 8 episodes, and season 2 starts filming soon. It's got a stellar cast, quite a few, I would say, relative unknowns, but you can see they are going to go, you know, stratospheric with their careers because they're all amazing. And it's not just the cast, it's the settings, it's the costumes, the score is just sublime. The whole thing together is a visual feast, I would say.
I would agree with that. The costumes are phenomenal. And just seeing the different settings, Castle Howard, which is just local to me, is one of the settings, and it's great seeing it portrayed in this show. But the score is phenomenal, like you say. But for me, it's all about the costumes. I definitely want to have myself a Bridgerton party one day with getting to wear all of that.
I would quite happily dress like the Blakes every day. I think it's such a great look.
I think it's my favourite look for sure. The gents look so dapper, yeah. and the ladies with all the different colours and different designs of the costumes. And it's great that they have different families have their different kind of schemes, and you can tell, you know, Eloise has her certain look, and each character has their own look across the whole of the series. And I think that's a really good fun part of the show.
Exactly. So it's very uplifting, which is good. However, if it was just that, then we wouldn't be talking about it, because we always look for the interesting CPD angle to come at a show like this from. So on that note, what do you think that this we can learn from Bridgerton?
I think for me, the biggest theme here is understanding of sex and contraception, sex education throughout the ages, not just in teens, and understanding of how babies are made and how to communicate that as clinicians to our patients in the younger age group, but also understanding that not everyone understands about cycles, about pregnancy as they go on to try to conceive. So loads of CPD in there, I think.
Exactly. And I think the thing is that this was set in the Regency era. So this was, you know, several hundred years ago. But I think it's relevant to today, because whereas back then, the younger generation didn't really have the knowledge because it hadn't been shared to them by their parents or by, a responsible adult. And that's part of the storyline, in that Daphne, played by Phoebe Dynevor, it transpires that she knows nothing about sex and being intimate before she gets married. And so she has to ask one of the maids for some advice. So that's what was happening then. But I think now, even though we know medically what young people should be told, even if we tell them, it feels that there's an element that the younger generation aren't believing what we tell them now. And I've certainly experienced a few cases where you'll talk to young people about contraception and they look at you as if you are talking about witchcraft and wizardry. So is that something you've experienced?
Yeah, I think we have to understand that it's a social issue as well as a health issue. You know, patients might come to us about contraception, but is there an understanding of the social contact and what contact can lead to pregnancy even? So I think we have to understand how young people learn things, and whether that be through social media, through talking to their friends, and where we sit in health to make the understanding better without the kind of preaching element of it or teaching element. I think we just need to be on the same level.
Exactly. And I think what you're saying, and right back at the beginning of the episode, you're also saying that you're very keen on social media and stuff. And I think we need to appreciate that is where lots of our young patients are getting their information from. And things like Facebook and Twitter, perhaps don't have the regulation to make sure that the information that young people are getting is correct. So there might be fake news out there that they are believing and that they are, you know, taking as gospel. And in fact, in Bridgerton itself, the preferred method of contraception is the withdrawal method, which clearly isn't hugely effective. But if people are watching that thinking that is a valid method of contraception, then that could be quite damaging as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you could see with Daphne, she needs to go ask for help. And it was clear that sex is absolutely only something done after marriage. And you're considered to be, you know, less worthy if you've had any kind of cohorting with the male sex in that age before marriage. And, you know, going back to the social media point, you know, Bridgerton shows that really well with the whistle down. A lot of that is rumor and not necessarily fact, or it's assumption. And that's where social media can fall down with things like contraception, which it's important that our patients have accurate information, is that it can be just hearsay. It can be someone's opinion. And there's, as you say, no regulation as to whether that's correct or not.
So Lady Whistledown is kind of like their social media at the time. But actually, the message that she's giving is very similar to what maybe they are getting from social media as we speak. So how do you think we can tackle that in this day and age to help our younger patients?
I think we need to make sure that we as GPs or practices use a variety of formats to communicate with our patients. We have a really active social media presence as a practice, which I kind of 2 years ago, I realized that was required because that's what patients want. That's what people want. So we use it as a way to engage with our patients, but also highlight accurate and proper places for our patients to access information, whether it be about their health or about other aspects of their well-being.
And what would you say to people who may be listening to this and they work in primary care and they think, oh, you know, we've shied away from getting involved in social media because what we're terrified about doing is saying having a Facebook page or a Twitter feed and for it to get hijacked with people putting negative and nasty comments on there. How do you deal with that?
I would say over the two and a half years that we've done it, the negativity has actually been much less than I thought. And it's also really useful to know what people's negative thoughts are because you can actually action them and deal with them appropriately. I would say you're not opening up a can of worms. We get way more positivity on our social media channels than we do negativity. And maybe that's just the type of content we're putting out there. But it's a minefield of actually you have the opportunity to give your patients the information you want to at a time that suits you. But also we use evenings, weekends, when patients may be more likely to use their social media channels. You can on Facebook, you can plan ahead and do posts ahead of time, which we find really useful. We've put loads about coronavirus over the last 12 months, but also things that have been neglected. We've put loads of information about how patients can access mammograms, cervical screening, sexual health information, either via us or via the local sexual health clinic. So it's not just an opportunity to say, hey, this is what the practices are doing. It's also, this is what's available in your local area, or this is a really good, we did a feature on Children's Mental Health Week, and we were able to signpost to all the local and national websites, apps, resources for that cohort of patients. And it's really valuable.
And this is something that you're the lead for your practice. So how much time would you say in a week you'd spend doing that?
I'd probably spend a session across the week doing it. And some of it is to plan future posts. Sometimes I'll do a themed week related. Last year we did one on opioids. We've done them on women's health, all sorts of different things. And a lot of it I can pre-plan, but sometimes it's just a case of kind of, oh, this has happened. We need to tell patients straight away. And there are other team members that have access to our social media accounts as well. So they can update the feeds if, let's say, the phones have gone down or one of the surgeries' electricity has gone off. So it's not just my responsibility, but I lead on it. It does take some time, but actually it's much more efficient than updating the website, which does get done, but it's a slower process. It's much more up to the minute and contemporaneous. And our patients give us great feedback on our social media feeds. So I'd highly recommend it to all practices out there.
Okay. And if we'd like to have a look at your social media feeds, how would we find them?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. So our practice is on Twitter at Priory Medical GP. and on Facebook at facebook.com/PrioMedicalGroup, and the same for Instagram at PrioMedicalGroup. And you can have a look at all the different things that we've put on there. Mixture of videos, written posts, images, and I've done a lot of research into what posts go down well, seeking feedback from the people that are watching them. They love videos, and an infographic goes a long way. Using images, especially on Twitter where the character count is low, goes a long way in helping our patients.
Excellent. Well, we'll have a look at those. And so regarding Bridgerton and the whole issues regarding contraception and sex education and stuff, are there any resources that we can signpost to for people listening so that they can access those and use those as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still a big fan of the FPA website. They do some great facing patient comms and also some really useful professional resources as well. I actually did a tutorial with my trainee last week on contraception in general practice. We talked about consultation skills and directing patients to other resources. So it's actually quite topical. We're talking about it today. We reviewed the FPA website and it's still really up to date. So that I tend to send the link to that to my patients so that they can have a look in their own time as well.
Oh, brilliant. So our patients can actually look at FPA as well.
Yeah, there's some patient-facing stuff as well, which is really useful.
And brook.org.uk is also a great resource to recommend to our patients, and it is patient-facing. Their contraception bit is great. They've got all the different methods that you can sort of think of. And then it also has a box you can click on which says unsure which one is right for you. And it says find out here, and it gives you a drop-down menu of different bits and pieces to help you to choose which is the right contraceptive for you. So there we go. All of those things. Who knew that talking about Bridgerton would get us to talk about all those different bits and pieces, including social media and contraception. So thank you so much, Abby, for coming in.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And I just wondered before you go, I think what we should do is we should work out our Bridgerton names. So what we need to do, it's either you start off with, so it's Lord or Lady, then it's your middle name. And it's the last thing you drank and you add ton at the end. And then it's the final bit is of, and it's your car model. So as an example, I am Lord Simon Waterton of Evoke. So there you are. What are you, Abby?
I'd be Lady Sarah Teton of Transporter.
Okay.
Doesn't sound quite right.
So it's very elegant, very, very dainty.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I think you'd wow the scene. We both would. So there we go. Fantastic. So season two of Bridgerton hopefully is out later on this year, if not early next year. And maybe if it's going to follow what they did this year, it might be released on Christmas Day. You never know. So,
well, I hope so.
Fingers crossed. Excellent. Well, thanks for joining me. Take care and we'll see you again soon.
Bye.
And we've got loads of great resources to signpost you to again this week, as always. So let's have a quick run through those. So we've got the brook.org.uk contraceptive resources there, and also the FPA as well. I've also put a link to NHS Networks, and there's an article there about using social media to engage, listen and learn. And if you head over to the Buzzsprout site, then you can click on all the links that we've talked about that are in the show notes. And the easiest way to do that, if you Google Buzzsprout Boggles Docs, or you can also go over to our social media pages and click on the link in the bio, and we are at Boggle Docs on Instagram and on Twitter. And the other thing that you can do if you click on the link in the bio is to leave us a voice message telling us about anything that you've heard or seen and think that we should be covering, or even leave us a message about something that you've actually heard us talk about on Boggle Docs. Well, that's just about it from us for this week. So thanks again to Abby for joining us. And if you watch Gogglebox, and the one that went out on Channel 4 on the 19th of March, which is Series 17, Episode 4 on demand, and if you watch really carefully, then you'll see Abby pop up on your TV screen. So, will our patients be asking us about the breath test for Barrett's esophagus? Well, maybe, but again, we're going to have to tell them that it's early days in the trial process with that one. Or could they be a parent looking for a positive role model for their teenager with type 1 diabetes? Well, possibly. And if that's the case, then we can signpost them to that clip from BBC Breakfast. Or might they watch Bridgerton and want contraceptive advice? Well, if that's the case, then we're ready for them and we've got all those resources to signpost them to. So that's it, as I said, for this week. I'm Nick Kendrew, and you can find me on Twitter at Nick Kendrew. That's NIKKENDROW. Until next week, take care and look after yourself. Goodbye.